my microphone. That's the thing which bugged me here.
Oh, it just took over automatically with it.
That happened to me before. I forgot what I had to do.
And now you can hear me. Yeah. See, I don't know why it doesn't want to recognize this headphone jack.
Being picky. Being picky. That's all, man.
I have four different softwares that like are registered to this, so one of them is probably doing something. But I can make it through.
All right. But, hey, man, welcome to Horror Reserve 30.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for reaching out. It was last week, I think, right?
Yeah, I was going through Twitch, and I saw the channel, and it was just, like, really cool, like, vibe, because it reminded me of going through Blockbuster, and I'd see all the horror movies and all that, and I was like, that's cool. And I know a lot about horror, so I figured, why not, you know?
I like that, man. I like that. And that's the vibe I want. It's just like, that just looks like a fun, chill kind of whatever movie they're fucking talking about. It just looks like a good time, and that's basically what it is. Sometimes movies are... I won't even say sometimes. I'll say a lot of times these movies can be pretty damn bad, but we fight through them.
I went through the VODs, and I was looking at them like, oh, you guys watch these movies. But every now and then there'd be one where I'm like, ooh, that's a good one.
We watch anything, man. Wherever that wheel lands on.
Yeah. And just
Dub G.
Have a good time with it. What's good, G? What's good, man? Appreciate you stopping in here. But Monster, you want to tell the people about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Going through a bit of a transition right now in terms of what I'm doing, but prior to this, I was a game show event host for Twitch, and I did celebrity, and I did raising awareness for younger streamers, and they were all done for charity, and the charity was Project Innocence, which is to help raise aware for people who were wrongfully convicted in jails for up to 20 years, 30 years. One guy was up to 60 years, did nothing wrong. Wow. But what this company does, Project Innocence, is they go back in time because of the DNA testing we have now, and they actually go back and look into the actual crime scene, and they can actually spot that police officer that, like, I got to be careful because I don't know the terminology I can use, but a police officer who wronged somebody set up like an African-American gentleman, and then that gentleman was pulled away from his entire family, went to jail, did nothing wrong, and was imprisoned for up to 50 years and lost his entire life, never got to see anyone grow old, and to be able to sit in jail and know that without anyone advocating you hurts a lot. So what Project Innocence does is hopefully they get you out like this, so you don't have to suffer the way they suffered. So mostly I just do Twitch, which is game shows and events, but we're almost done the season for wrapping those up. And I realized I wanted to transition to something else, which is I want to get back into doing debates, which I was a huge fan of when I was a kid, but I want to do it with celebrities. So a lot of the celebrities I know are either like aerialists, gymnasts, or horror actors. So we're going to bring them on, do an interview, and then go to a debate. And people are allowed to come on as we do and go along with that while we just do standard interviews with people, because I think that'd be a lot easier on the brain.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome, though, man. That's dope. That's dope. Yeah. And his link is in the bio. Go check his Twitch channel out, guys.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Sounds like some pretty... So you sound busy.
It's a very, very busy lifestyle I have, but there's the down moments, because someone pointed out to me, and actually the film, it's not horror, obviously, but Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, where people keep looking to achieve happiness and maintain it through their entire life, but that doesn't exist. It's about going through life and having those moments of happiness. So it's like those little down times I get, those are my moments of happiness. Everything else is just the struggle for.
That's fair. I like that. I like that. How's it going? How's it going? And just to let you guys know, so tonight we're going to be talking about Jennifer's Body, starring the one and only Megan Fox. And I'm going to be honest. I didn't like this as much as I thought I would. Going back from, what was the movie we did a couple last week, James, that we liked hers?
It was when she was chained to her dead husband.
Yeah.
Gerald's Game?
No, it's like it's a better version of Gerald's Game.
Till Death. It was called Till Death.
Till Death. That's it. Till Death. Check that one out.
That was...
Yeah, I actually liked that. Yeah.
I feel like her acting was way better in that. I think she was older in that, though, too, so she had more
experience. Well, yeah, she's really young in this. I thought this was like her second movie or first movie. I didn't know this came before Transformers.
After,
but I googled her name. She has a lot of movies before this shit. I was like, oh, I was way off.
Damn. What's good, Paul?
Not much. Sean just got done with ours. Sorry, I'm a little late. But
All good. Right. I knew you guys had a show. Paul, Monster, Paul.
Nice to meet you, Monster.
How's it going?
I like your setup and the colors, man.
Thank you. I built all this. So I'm, believe it or not, I'm not inside. I'm outside on a porch that's elevated that I...
That's cool as hell.
So everything's waterproof. So you were bringing up the winds earlier. This entire place was shaking, and I was just praying and holding on to it. But yeah, it's all handmade.
That's amazing.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, it is. Damn.
I just want to listen to you tell me scary stories. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to sit there and just, oh, shit.
He leans back, puts his hands up on the fucking, what are they, gargoyles? I can't even see. Yeah. He's like, let me tell you a story.
Yeah. you have the perfect setting for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be the new Crypt Keeper.
Like, real talk. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
But I just rewatched Jennifer's Body like 2 hours ago. So I had just finished it right before Mick and I went on, and there was
I saw it last night. Yeah,
I watched.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts I forgot about this movie. I was like, wait a minute, that happened? I don't remember.
I forgot.
What is those fucking mind things where people says?
Like, oh, the Mandela effect? No, it wasn't
Mandela shit. I remember this part.
You know what it is? This is one of those movies that whenever this came out, whenever you watched it the first time, that was the last time you watched it until now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you just forgot, like, you knew it was out there, you knew you watched it, but you forgot like everything that happened in it. You just knew she was in it. And like, I forgot the whole fucking story. I forgot the whole premise. I forgot everything about this movie.
No, I knew the story. There's certain parts I was like, I don't remember.
I knew the premise. It was mostly there were these one-liners that Jennifer gave that I was like, holy crap. Like, that is bad, like, right. Like, I didn't know that was the problem with the entire movie for me, because overall, if I gave it a rating, I give it like a 2, just because I didn't know who to root for in this movie, because it's just so up and down, and it's so inconsistent in the way it's like put together, where I'm like, wait, like, why wouldn't they make Jennifer somebody to root for, so that when it happened to her, not to get into it, like, you'd feel something for her, so there'd be emotion for her, but she's twisted, and then there's the innocent girl. But no, it's like, if there's something she said before she's changed, I'm like, I could give 2 fucks about you. So when she's changed, I'm like, oh, that's just a demon that a regular girl's gonna whatever. I didn't get it. Yeah. I didn't get it.
Yeah. Was it her talking about how Ron ruined her asshole?
Not that. It was immediately after in the bar. She makes a joke that doesn't make sense, but I got the context they were going for. She said there's something called the 9/11 shot, and it's red, white, and blue. And when you drink it, you got to make sure it doesn't come back. And then somebody cut her off, and I was like, why would you fucking...
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It's like, it was just a dark joke to be like dark and edgy, I guess, but it's like, so you don't want us to like her. Like, I prefer Ron over her. Because Ron is supposed to be the douchebag, but he did nothing douchey. He burped and grabbed his belt. He did nothing douchey. Just grabbed him by the balls. Someone was like, oh, what are you going to do, Ron? He's like, well, maybe we shouldn't do this here. It's like, he's not a bad guy. She's literally hurting people.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ron, I forgot Chris Pratt, right?
Yeah, that's Chris Pratt. Yeah.
Completely forgot he was in this.
I was like, yeah, I think this group. This, this was one of those movies. I feel like this is one of those horror movies that are just like, all right, listen, you guys are just getting started in acting. I know you guys want to make a name for yourself. Listen, you guys should just get in this movie together. Megan has the biggest name right now. She's the hot chick, the new hot chick of whatever year this shit came out, 99 or some shit, or 09, or I don't know. Whenever this came out, I think it was 09. But anyway, so I was like, you know, make her kind of the lead-ish, and they did what they did with it. And they, we got this. We got Jennifer's Body. And it just made no fucking sense.
My biggest complaint is that they played through the trees. The only thing I
really, really enjoyed was the beginning when she fucked her to kick to the fucking lady with the clipboard. She's like, because I like them. Bow. She's like, this is Sparta, and just kicked her right in the fucking chest.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. I was like, all right, cool.
Absolutely.
When I didn't get that, locked up. I didn't understand the... So the freaking Panic of the Disco band, like, I get them being in a cult. Like, I get it. Satanic, whatever. They don't really even explain what they're doing, because the whole time people believe that it's like a vampire they're creating. But no, it's not a vampire. It's a demon. Okay, so they're doing demon. They're playing rock music, which is connected to Satanic. What I don't get is, why do they have to play a gig in order to get her? Because the thing is, people are like, oh, well, they needed bodies. They need bodies for the sacrifices. I was looking up online and read anything. But I'm like, no, the fire was fucking accidental. Like, he's playing. He looks, turns around. And it's like, oh, shit. And there's a fire that erupts. For some reason, he just turns around and keeps playing. And then, if you remember, this is the funniest moment in the entire movie for me. It's the fucking civilians, how they react to fire. Like, one guy's just, remember, he's just standing and staring, and then a thing goes, just crushes him. And then the mothers with their kids, like, what are we, it's like, go to the fucking door. Nobody's reacting properly to this fire. And then they get outside, and they're like, oh, thank God. And then, like, the band member comes out completely uncharred, leading you to believe that they are, like, I'm sorry, vampires in some way. And then they're just like, hey, you want to come to our van? And she's like, yes, let's go to their van. And I'm like, that's a vampire trance. Like, I didn't remember any demon in any movie putting a trance on somebody. But yeah, it's demons. So they get in the van, shut the door, and Amanda Siegfried is just watching as this happens. She's not even speaking. She's not really saying, like, no, stop, don't, whatever. She's just watching. And then it transitions to the next scene, which is either, I don't know, her room or high school. But I just don't get the occult and what their goal is, because they don't really say it. Are they just trying to make a demon? Because they didn't put a name to the demon. That's where movies like The Conjuring got it right. You know, like, with the demon in, what was the name? The nun.
Starts with a V.
Fuck.
Yeah, Valak. They put a name to it, like Valak. Before you even saw Valak, you were terrified because you knew Valak was coming. It's like, why not be like, drop a name in there. I don't care what it is. We need to resurrect Dasmangul. Dasmangul is going to be here. We need her for Dasmangul. So then we have a trepidation like, oh, there's going to be something big at the end, a big reveal that's going to be Dasmangul.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They just kidnap a girl and do these rituals that they don't explain to us what's going on.
At all.
What I got from it, I thought they were doing a ritual so they can become famous.
Yeah.
Like they make the deal, we sacrifice a virgin. Yep. And we become famous, but they did it wrong.
Yeah.
She was not a virgin. So I don't know. No, that's the thing. They didn't tell they became famous or not. I know their song got popular with the school and everybody's singing it, but they didn't say like they went worldwide and they're fucking.
I think that's inferred when they play the prom or whatever that dance is, because their set looks a lot better. And then with the end credits, you know, they're showing them in a hotel, living it up, getting out of a limo and shit. So I think
it's
slightly implied. It's not in your, they should have just shown it very, like you said, been like, oh, they're on a worldwide tour, but
it's
So that's and what I got from them. They made
on top of that, they weren't even that fucking important. I couldn't, every time that some bitch started to sing, I was like, when is this gonna
stop? It's like it didn't improve the voices.
No,
at all.
Get through the fucking trees and shut the fuck up. Like, I don't want
to
hear.
You know what they could have did to improve that, though? They could have cut to them, like, taking the blood from Megan Fox, right? Mm-hmm. And then drinking the blood, and that purifies the vocal cords. That would have been a cool take on it. That would have been a cool take.
I would have liked that.
It just means their song did not match their look.
No.
Yeah. No.
their song was like about peaceful and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it was weird, like loving. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I thought they were like dark, like,
yeah,
rock out, like,
especially
like,
the way
I was waiting for a song that I know. I'm like, come on, right. Where's the metal? You're gonna play metal?
It's like the budget's only so high, and it's like, all right, man, I know these guys at the street. How are they? I mean, they just said if I get them some lunch, they'll do it.
Probably. This was after Transformers, though.
That tells you what you're going
to
get.
They got Megan Fox. They got to have this. What was the buddy on this movie?
Megan Fox.
Well, that was the key of the marketing, because it's like, the thing is, this is a Megan Fox publicity stunt. Like, you look at the poster, it's literally her with her, you know, on the, you've seen it. It's her on the desk and her legs out, and it says like, hell yes. And it's like, it's very much like riding off of Transformers. Like, what can we do with Megan Fox? What's hot right now? It's like, okay, vampire, this will merge this, but they do it so wrong where it's like, again, the person on the cover of that poster should be Amanda Seyfried's character, because she's the protagonist. The film doesn't start with Jennifer's body. It starts with Amanda Seyfried in jail, and she's called the kicker, which, whatever. And then
we found out why, because she kicked
the kicker. I like the kick. It's like, no shit. Thanks for the foreshadow there. But the idea is, she's trying to, like, it's foreshadowing like how she got there, and it's by facing a demon called Jennifer. And the fact that you know, Amanda Seyfried's not on the front of the poster is just weird. That's like having, you know, I got to make a Transformers reference, I guess, because she was in it. But it's like having Megatron on the front of a Transformers. It's like, no, you put both on to show the duality between the two. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole thing, I really didn't understand. I'm usually pretty linear and lenient when it comes to horror films, especially if they present themselves a certain way. Like Puppet Master, it knew it wanted to be fun, but it kind of took itself serious. There's campy good movies out there, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space, or like where it's like it's good. That's what it is. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's just a good film, and people can say, "Well, like, well, that looks campy." It's like, no, you gotta watch it, man. Like, it's just a good film. This, I don't know if it's campy. I don't know if it's supposed to try to be good. Even Amanda Seyfried said at the MTV Awards when she was accepting her speech, she said, she's like, look, the opening line was, she's like, look, I know a lot of people don't like this movie. Like, she even knew, because the budget was so low, but I didn't know what they were going for. Like, the makeout scene between those two characters, like, I didn't get how she, it was creme de la crème. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But came the fact out in high school is, for me, they have a 2-minute conversation. She's witnessed Jennifer morph and kill, and she has blood all over her. But then she's cleaned up in her bed. And the first thing you would have in your mind is not talking for 2 minutes, then making out with that individual, leading to sex, and then being like, well, what the fuck happened last night? It's like, you know, that would have happened first. Like, you know, the murder would have transpired. Because at the end of the day, it's like, Amanda Seyfried, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think she ever states she's bi. Only Megan Fox does that in the movie, where she's like, I go both ways. And that's her, get your hands off her, you bitch aliens line. Like, that was her line. But I didn't understand it. Like, it went back and forth to the point where I kind of just gave up and I watched it. But it's not a clean film. And the fact that, like, spoilers, when Lance Hendrickson shows up at the end, as a nerd, because he's the one from Pumpkinhead, he was in Near Dark, he's the lead driver, he's the old driver that picks her up, he was in Terminator, like all these films, right? I don't get why they would get him and not like Taylor Lautner, because this film is catered to teenagers. Right. That actor is not part of their generation. So that was their Nick Fury. They thought that Nick Fury guy was going to pick her up and be like, oh, you're in a journey, and they're going to have this anthology. It's like, nobody knows who that is watching this film, because they just saw Twilight. Get somebody that could connect them. But yeah, that was my feelings. There was not a moment in the film where I was like, that was a good shot. Ironically, I'll say this just to wrap up my piece. What was worse than the writing for me personally, because the writing, it does feel like if you're learning how to write like a type of film, whether it be action, horror, or this, it's very in place. Like, it works, but it's just not, there's no character development. There's no caring. There's nothing there's in no it. It's just, right. It's written properly. But the one thing I noticed the most that stood out to me is the cinematography. They played with the colors so much that there was no color gamut. Like, if you watch Saw, it's tinted green. If you watch 30 Days a Night, the saturation's elevated to a certain extent, and then the contrast is brought slightly lower. With this, they were literally, like, if you go back and watch it, it's blue-tinted, green-tinted, this. And I was like, they're just doing this because it looks good in that element, not because it means anything. So it doesn't feel cohesive. So when you add that to the storyline, it's all jumbled and shaken. And, yeah, I'm not a fan, man.
No, I'm right there with you with that, man. It was just like, just nothing attached me to this movie. I'm like, fuck, the story's not that good. The story's whatever. Like, you're just saying, I understand it. Maybe it's someone's first movie, which, cool, fine.
Right.
Wasn't for me. And then Megan Fox, like, seeing her in this, I'm just like, this is just bad. Like, the acting is horrible.
Yeah. Because the fight scene was bad.
Once you take like the attraction away, and even then, it's still like, it still probably sucked when I first seen it. But even when you take the attraction away, even more so, it's just like, holy shit, this is horrible. But this was the times when, I'm sure it went up to throughout the 2010s, close to the 2010 at least. Remember, like the early 2000s, up to around 2010. Anybody could, rappers, anybody, just in these fucking movies. And I feel like this was that time where, or the
like Halloween H2O, where Busta Rhymes was the final girl. Yes.
Or LL Cool J twice.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just like, you guys are just throwing people in just because they're popular, that name. And for, of course, for her, she had the look and they wanted to get her, you know, see what she could do. And this was just not it. Like, this just... And it didn't even feel like a horror movie. It felt like a it felt like the same people who made Cruel Intentions made this. And they're like, all right, yeah. Start biting people with the mad teeth. You don't have some demon element to it, but have this stupid ass high school drama that no one cares about, and just yeah. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? This is just a scary version of Cruel Intentions. Or all the we all know those movies and all those shows that came out around that time. They're all basically the same, just a different title. And someone else had the STD and someone else was pregnant and someone else was dead or whatever the case may be in those shows. They were all the same.
Yep.
Different amount of people, just different people with different drama, but the same, like, whatever. And that's what this movie felt like. It just felt like just grabbing ideas from a bunch of different things. And this time it didn't work.
No.
You know what it did work for? The movie reviewed on Sturtevision on Friday, Rotor, it worked for that. I fucking love that. I am so happy. I said when I was reviewing that movie, James, I said, I'm going to start talking about this movie a lot like I do with Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
It was just better than this shit. I'll tell you that.
And the only reason, because I remember the actual time it came out and like the hype behind it. It was pretty heavily marketed. People wanted to see it, and it was mostly just to see a more sexualized version of Jennifer's body. That was the expectation. Not Jennifer's body, Megan Fox. Because coming off of Transformers, like, I'm sorry, there's not one guy on the planet that didn't pause the frame where Shia LaBeouf is watching her change the engine. And it's like, that's in everybody's head. And they're like, did you see Transformers? Megan Fox was so hot. We got to see our childhood come to life through these characters, and then we got to see a hot chick with her. That's awesome. Oh, wait, the hot chick is coming out with another movie. I'm going. And then you go and you're just like, filmmaking requires more, because you technically got what you want, but at the same time, you're like, it requires more.
You see, and what I've learned in life, gentlemen, is if you're going to see the hot chick for a movie, just watch porn. Yeah. Other than that, just watch a movie. Listen, I don't care who's in it. If it's good, it's good.
There's only one exception to that rule, and I'd say it's Wild Things. Oh. If you watch Wild Things, that might be the exception. Was that Nev Campbell and Denise Richards?
Yeah, Denise Richards.
That was the exception for me. I don't know about the AD twists at the end of that movie.
Yeah. But, was that where the hookers die in the bathroom?
It's when Matt Dillon is was it Denise Richards and Neve Campbell are trying to hit on Matt Dillon, who's a teacher.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of a different movie.
That's all right. Yeah. But yeah, no. This movie, it was just, I don't know. It was just a mess. Like, I still don't understand the concept. Like, I don't know the premise. Like, it seems like you do, but if you think about it logically, because the director that did this is a female, ironically. Her last film, I was actually shocked because I like and dislike this film. Like, people always beat me up for it. The dialogue is awful. The cinematography is amazing, but it's Aeon Flux with Charlize Theron. When that came out, like, people were hyped about it, but they were trying to reinvent the comic, but people didn't even know it was a comic, so they just went to go see a movie that was weird to them. That's when Ultraviolet came out too, which unfortunately didn't work either. But with the Unflux, the framing was so good in every shot, and the way it was done, it really stands out to me, especially like when she does a split. It's like it's all symmetrical. With this movie, it felt very like, what's the word? Okay, this is a film I'll say this. Well, Rob Zombie's The Munsters, where this movie, if you've seen it, like, I promise people never to even bring it up. But you know what? No, I'll bring up a good movie because I do thoroughly love Rob Zombie. House of Thousand Corpses, he uses basically all handheld. It's never really static shots. It creates a sense of anxiety when you're in there with them and you see Dr. Satan. It feels like a roller coaster. I felt they were doing the same with this times where it's like they're going like this, but I'm like, yo, they're just talking. Chill the fuck out. Like, they're just, like it was too much for me. It's like a static shot is fine. Do what you did in the Unflux. Know how to profile your shots. Do the mid shots, all that, dolly this. But you don't need to fucking be like, here we go. Like, why would they do this Evil Dead shot when Jennifer's in the woods with the guy and then cut to a static shot of them just talking normally? It's like, wait, was that a jump scare of a camera move with no you're just gonna violently go in and then just be like, you know, I really like you. And it's like, wait, why the fuck did it? I thought it was coming. But yeah, no, that I really wish the framework is better, but it just wasn't whatever.
I felt like with this felt like they were just trying a bunch of shit too. This was also that era where you just try shit and see what sticks, or you go with the popular shit, but then you throw your own little sauce into it and see if it works. And with this one, they just I don't think I need to see this movie ever again in my life.
Nope.
It's nowhere near the worst movie, but it's just there's nothing to it. It was boring.
They don't explain my biggest pet peeve about this. Sorry. My biggest pet peeve about this is they don't explain the demon. They don't explain the demon, how it works, how the whole thing works, any of that, how she's levitating at the end, and then she's like, that's right, I'm the kicker, and she kicks herself out, but you don't explain where that kick even came. She just called herself that, so I guess its abilities of the demon is to kick, because she can absorb certain parts of that and elevate, but they don't explain anything. It's like it was done so well with the witches with Angelica Houston to get you to fear witches, because they explained it in 10 seconds. 10 seconds, that's all they had. They're like, a witch's hair moves with like this, and you see the hair, and their feet are like this, and their eyes like, so you just know. But they give us no information on how this fucking demon clan, any of it works, so that they can literally, if she shot lasers out of her eyes, I'm like, yeah, it's a fucking demon, of course. Probably the demon that shoots lasers. It's like, you can't do that, man. It's a write-off. Probably the demon
that shoots lasers.
I love that. So she was elevating and she was going like this. So she's using a demon's power. This is the contradiction. A demon's power to meditate in the air. Yeah. And then she's like, let's go. Sit. And she's like, yes, there will be a sequel. It's like, no.
No,
it's supposed to set up like her going to hunt down that band.
Yeah.
Probably.
That was probably the idea. And I wonder how that would, it would have sucked, but
it would have sucked. I wonder
how that would have looked.
I can't see how that would be good.
Oh, if you rewatch the credits, you'll see it on there. Because they show it.
What I do with really shitty movies that I don't enjoy, like whatsoever, I connect them to really good movies and then I off that character. So if she's going after the band, and in my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe she's not a demon because she can still be a vampire because she still is levitating. Her skin won't burn because she put lotion on, probably. She goes after the band from Queen of the Damned and they kill her in the background and I don't know it. And then the band performs and Elias in it. So that way they're all going together in this little MCU universe I have in my head. But at least I'm still being kind to the shitty movies. It's just this one just seems like it was going to be offensive. But that one line like deterred me so much when in the bar where it's like, do you want the 9/11 drink? Like, okay, first of all, if you're there, it's such a stupid fucking line because there's no bar. There's no beverage in the universe. We could be like, can I have the 9/11 drink? They're like, what's that? I'm like, well, it's red, white, and blue. And it's like, she was saying it with such candor as if it wasn't a joke. There was actually a drink that exists in this universe that's called the 9/11 drink. And right when she said that, I was like, what's the point of this stupid? Like, who has, like, we're all very intellectually. We know our horror movies. We know movies in general, if we know horror. We know the fundamentals of how to write a script. Like, if you're writing your first script or a script in general from the heart, you'd see that. You know, as moviegoers, we see the mistake. So you're wondering, like, should I trust this director if they can't even see their own mistake? Like, if she comes out with another movie, I'm not going to watch it because it's like, I get the idea of being experimental with it, because a lot of people are, especially like Tarantino was experimental with Reservoir Dogs. It was a hit, but there were no flaws in it. That's what made it a hit. Right. So in terms of stuff like this, it's like, I don't know. Because if you can explain to me, I'll give you 5 hours how this movie works.
I will take
it out of the $5 bin and I will sneak it on a shelf in a bookcase that says $39.99 Blu-ray 4K. But I don't get it. The boyfriend I thought was lame. Amanda Seyfried's like boyfriend who's just there. He's not even like, I would have preferred if his character was more like either, what is this, Steve from Stranger Things, or the asshole. What is it?
No, you're right. Steve from Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, who has a bit of oomph to him, or make him a complete douchebag like the guy from Nightmare on Elm Street that got choked out by the sheet in the jail cell, you know, like he's a greaser head or whatever, so that he can go after Jennifer at a point. So it's almost like a leveling up system, kind of like the movie The Raid or Old Boy, where it's like you're going for the boss.
Yeah.
It'd be cool, like the boss is Jennifer. And we know she's this demon, and everybody's going after her. But the one that's going to overcome her anxiety and do this is going to be this, which is going to be Amanda Seyfried. But it was complete. I don't get how the director couldn't see it. But yeah.
Again, these are the popular names. Let's do this. Oh, shit. This is a money grab, too. Yeah, I got a script. When did you write this? I wrote this about 6 years ago. I'm not even going to look it over. Here's your roles.
Yeah.
And that's what this felt like. It's sad that it felt like that. But again, I mean, that money grab shit can be terrible, which is a weird way to look at things and do things. Cause you feel like, to me, a real money grab would be like, all right, let me take my time with this. Let me just make sure that, let me check everything, make sure all the, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and all that other shit. And make sure the script is good, and then kind of go from there, and then maybe do little small screens. Yo, what do you guys think about this? Just little small things here. What should I change? All right, let's fix this shit up. And then kind of, you know, but
right.
This just felt rushed, and it
probably they probably was. Did rush it because they wanted Megan Fox. They were like, we have to do this now if we want her before someone
like,
else.
You know what this felt like? This felt like that. You know how like when people are on movies, like she just finished Transformers, right? And like she just finished Transformers, or like the day after vacation, she just did this movie. She's like, "Listen, I'm gonna give you guys 3 days because in 6 months I'm taking another break, and then in 6 months I have a real movie coming up." So this movie right here was the rebound. This movie right here was like when you're in a long relationship, like she was with Transformers, and they broke up. Now she's upset, so she went after this, and it didn't work. You've seen with the movie, and I don't know what the fuck she did after that besides Turtles later on in life, but. It
has something to be said about the integrity of the director, because it's 100% the director's fault. Like, obviously that's my opinion, and every opinion is my opinion. But the director chooses these pieces. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of times they're like, "Hey, which one do you want?" And they're laid out in front of them. It's kind of like Kevin Smith. Like Kevin Smith was given the option back in 80s, 90s to do either Beetlejuice 2, Beetlejuice in Hawaii, or it was Superman remake with Nicolas Cage, which a lot of people know of because of the Flash movie. And then there was a third one, and he said, no, I'm not touching any of those. Like, I'm not right for that. So I can get the temptation of, like, this director, if she's sitting in a panel, and they're like, okay, we're going to give you a movie. You're either going to choose this, this, or this. And she sees Jennifer Body, and she sees this. But she's still given the opportunity to fix the fucking thing. Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's still a process after that. Even if it's written, you go through rewrites, this. It's just lazy to sit back and be like, yeah, you know what? It's good. Let's make it as is. And like you said, like, well, let's experiment with it. It's like, it's about having integrity. Like, you look at any director out there that's a headliner, like, I'll bring it back to Tarantino. I'll bring it to Robert Rodriguez, who does the exact same style of film. Like, his movies are the definition of campy movies, but they're fucking good because he cares about it. So if you have somebody that's making a movie like Machete, Planet Terror, it's like, it just puts love into it. It's like, I'm going to put a machine gun on a girl's leg. I'm going to make it look good, but I'm going to make sure I take 3 years to produce this, edit this, and he kills it with it. You know, Spy Kids. Right. Who didn't see Spy Kids when that came out? Fuck. It's like, you need to love your project. Don't just do the project. And I hate directors like that, that don't like immerse themselves. Because you hear the directors that immerse themselves all the time. Like, we've been hearing about freaking Nolan making Oppenheimer when he was coming out with The Dark Knight. We heard about that 4 years before it even came out, and we were psyched, and he kept talking about it. It's like, they care about the project. Jennifer's Body was very much a studio's output. The director never once came out. It never said from the director of Young Flux. It was like, it was the studio. That's it. It's just a little ticket that they're putting out
that,
there.
That could be another thing, too, where the studio is just like, look, here's your shot at something. We want it this way. You know, we tied your hands. We want it this way. You could change this and this. I mean, maybe. I really don't know, because I don't know how any of that works. But it just, it almost felt like one of those two. And I feel like that's maybe around those times is probably why a lot of shit felt like, looked like, smelled like everything was damn near the same about it. Just, again, you just changed the characters. Stories were damn near the same and all that. Around that weird, almost like a 10-year period. Almost like a 10-year period. It was just like, for what? Like, to be more creative. With this shit. Be a lot more creative, especially with horror, because you can go in so many different directions.
So the best follow-up to that is, you said there's so many copies out there being made. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I've seen this before. Everybody has a deja vu where I've seen this before. I believe people can copy other people's work, but there's some people that do it so damn well. Now, my favorite film of all time, I believe, and I haven't read anything that it's true, so don't hold me to it. My favorite film is Insidious. I love Insidious. I think it's a horror roller coaster ride. I love how none of the monsters are explained. It's done for the sake of just scaring you. Obviously, they explain who they are in the following sequels and all that. But Insidious alone, they don't explain who the hoof demon is making keys. The woman in the black dress, the child dancing in front of the radio, like the woman with the slit wrists that are the mate. Like, they don't explain it at all. He's like, I just want you to be afraid. And then I started rewatching the film, and I realized this is just Poltergeist. If you think about it, the girl gets trapped in the other dimension. The parents have to call the seance crew or whatever in to communicate with Dalton and the little girl from this. It's like, it's the exact same thing. And it copied it. I think, in my opinion, Insidious did it way better than Poltergeist. Just because they're like, we're going to copy it, but update it.
See, now, but that's I feel like that's different, though, because I don't feel like it's as out there, as open as, you know, something like a Jennifer's Body or just some movies where it's, you know, where those movies are literally damn near, sometimes be damn near the same cast and maybe like two different
people. Mean like Kung Fu Panda and Karate Bear Five, like it's like those like DVDs you see like out that, there, you're like, this is exactly the fucking same. I
yeah, something like that, not necessarily where they kind of use similar elements but flip it and make it their own, like Insidious. Right. It may have borrowed those elements, borrowed those ideas, but it still made it its own, to where it's like, this is a completely different story, even though it borrowed some elements, which, you know, different dimensions. Right. We got here in a completely different way, and I agree with you. I think they did it a lot better.
Yeah,
I think they did
the soundtrack alone for Insidious is what got to me.
Yeah,
the sounds that they came up with,
back Tiny Tim, that freaking tip,
god damn, man. Yeah.
You're just like, oh boy, I don't like this.
I made that my ringtone.
Same.
Yeah, because the whole film, it felt like Christopher Nolan said it with Dark Knight. He said, whenever you see the Joker, you hear violins, but they never really complete. It's always this high tension, which is like, and that's Insidious with its soundtrack. If you listen, it like mm-hmm. it never ends. It's like this, like even the first shot, it's tense. Because I'm going to geek out real quick, and then I'll shut up, I swear. But the first shot of Insidious, it made me want to get back into screenwriting. James Wan created this gimbal just for this one shot, and it's only a 3-minute shot, but it's one of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen in a movie ever. All you see is a white orb in front of you, and it looks like a lamp because there's two handles there, right? And it's holding, and what this device does is as it rotates, it does a perfect rotation without any like stopping, a perfect circle rotation. It's ingenious, only to reveal that the lamp is on top of the ceiling. It's a ceiling lamp. They pan down, there's a child in the bed. They pan to the right, there's a shadow that goes quickly across the thing. And it's very tense. And you're going around and you're picking up all these objects in your head. And you're like, what is going on? And then finally it zooms in and you see the woman in the black dress and it goes, Insidious. And you're just like, what am I in for? Because it sets right. you up. Because I think the window gag of them zooming in on that window is supposed to be the same as if we're riding an attraction ride. We're about to go through that like door to see what the ride is. So when they show Insidious, he's like, you better buckle on tight because that was the first fucking 2 minutes of this and you got 158 minutes. I'm like, so good. So good. And I love all of it. I could go on and on about it, but I won't. But I love that shot. That shot to me is so well done and so beautiful. And the fact that a director that intuitive, would create a gimbal that's only, I think it's like $50,000 just to do that one rotation shot because he wanted you to be immersed in it as if you are a part of the film. And the fact that you can be that involved in a film and it's not a first person Blair Witch Project style camera shaky where you're like, oh, I have anxiety or The Descent. The fact that it's just normally shot and you feel like you're in that room, that's what horror is all about. It's about just the fear for being fearful, and you can leave and be terrified and tell everybody about it. And that's why horror is fantastic. Jennifer's Body, just can't do that.
Not at all. Not even close to that. This was just like, I don't know what the fuck this was. This was something I don't ever want to see again. I'm telling you guys that right now. And let's speaking of that, let's dive into ratings real quick, and then I can spin this awesome wheel, see what we're gonna be doing next week. But I'm giving this shit a one. I won't be negative with it this time. I don't think it's a negative, but I'll give it a one. I think that's fair, and I'm being generous. I feel
I'm being generous. I was gonna go three.
He said three.
Yeah,
how about you, good sir?
So originally I said two. But upon discussing it and upon me rethinking about it, people went to go see it for Megan Fox. And that's not a reason to go see a movie. You can see Megan Fox anywhere if you type Google her name. Zero. There's nothing. There's nothing there. I'm going to say there's nothing whatsoever. The script, cinematography, the actors, the acting, nothing. Zero. I'm surprised if they didn't even get any typos in the credits wrong. So yeah, zero. While they were down.
Oh shit! Just for nostalgia, it gets a one out of ten.
That's fair.
Because I was one of those high school perverts that went to go see it just to watch her make out with another girl. 100%. It's the only reason why I went to go see it.
That's fair. That I love your honesty. Honesty.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too. I was looking at the, like, when they did the close-up, not the burst bubbles. I could be wrong. I don't think that was Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried. They zoomed in.
You're like, we're not doing that. It gets stent
up. Yeah, right when they cut bubbles. In, I saw, like, this, there was, like, fur, like, that invisible fur you have on your upper lip, like, right here. And then they pan back and they did a close-up. I'm like, and then I went back and I'm just like, that one of her lips is, like, higher than the, I'm like, I don't think those are the same because it was a close up of the lips. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The wide shot overhead, could have been them. But the thing is, they are probably fake making out at angles. But that kiss, I don't think so. I don't think in a million years, because Amanda Seyfried is notorious for having OCD too. So I don't think she'd allow that in general, because her re-seeing that, it might like set her off. But
you just ruined a lot of masturbatory things that happened with that clip, man.
But look, guys, it wasn't them, but it was really, they substituted it for Angelina Jolie and fucking Carmen Electra. Those are the two that was the close up.
It's better. I can live with that.
Oh man. Let's see what's going on next week. Hopefully something better than Jennifer's body.
I hope it's us. I could talk about us for 2 hours, no problem. Swear to God.
Us, I could go on about
any Jordan Peele film, hence my background.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Hard Candy.
Okay, Hard Candy.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I hate that I remember that movie. Poor guy. I'll say that.
Yeah, the movie's messed up.
Nah, fuck that. Not poor guy, because he got what he was asking for.
Not like that.
Hey, man. You take what's not yours. You got to suffer the consequences.
Misery is in my top 10. That's actually a film that I actually wrote an essay about.
Oh, that's awesome. Misery's awesome.
Man, Misery's awesome.
Oh, shit.
Brutal. Yes, sir.
Oh.
That's for Thursday. That's going to be a fun one.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And this Thursday, we are reviewing. The hell was it, Aaron? I blanked out.
Audition.
Thank you.
That's a movie. Yeah,
thank you for that. That's yes.
What's the roughest movie you've seen?
Oh, it's the cannibal ones.
Holocaust or just in general?
Holocaust, and there's Holocaust. One. What is there? Green something?
Green Inferno.
Green Inferno. It's fucked up. Those type of movies are just, you're like, it's not like, like a horror movie you can enjoy, like, oh, that was fun. Everything is there, you're like, right. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. Like,
well, it's funny watching a snuff film.
You're watching a snuff film. That's what it is. You're like, God damn.
Well, it's funny you say snuff film, because there's a film. So I'm okay with cannibal movies. I don't know why they don't really bug me, but I think it's obviously done by person. The film that bugs me the most, because I think it's just ethics, not ethics, I'd say morals, is Martyrs. The first time I saw Martyrs, especially the original one, if you haven't seen it, it's basically just, it's a disgusting film. I'll say that. It's about torturing people until they see the other side. Yep. And the way they torture certain individuals, it's not men they torture. And that's one of the biggest things that can really gripe your stomach. So if you see a guy wailing on a girl for a good 5 minutes for no reason, at a certain point, it just like makes you sick. So it is a horror film. Obviously, it's horrific. But in terms of like gore and all that, I don't really get sick. It's usually that moral statement where I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? It's just like unnerving to watch. Those type of like, don't fucking do that shit, man. Like, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I've only had that with one movie, and that was Spit on Your Grave, when they make the handicapped brother rape that poor girl. That part, that's probably that's the only movie where I've ever been. I almost turned it off because I was like, I can't handle this.
That too for me. That was with me with Devil's Rejects. Oh. I actually did. I had to rewatch Devil's Rejects 8 years later because of the guy with the gun, and he's four. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know. It's just like, it's the raping is.
Yeah.
That's the rough stuff. Yeah. That's the rough stuff. Yeah, nobody wants to see that. There's no guy there like, oh yeah, finally.
Yeah. No.
No, it's even more crazy, like seeing it as an adult, like as a grown man. You look at it even more different. It's like, what the fuck? Like, what movies would we do? Last House on the Left.
Yeah.
And there's a couple more.
No, they're kids to us now. You rewatch these movies as adult. You're watching people that are younger than you. This, because as a kid, you're seeing like, oh, that like that hot chick is getting whatever. But as an adult, you look down and you're like, that's a child. Like it's just weird to look at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I'll say like with those movies, I guess the ones that we mentioned is the good thing is out of that they get their revenge. But it's like You don't always have to show it. You could just imply if you have to have it in the movie, you can kind of imply it.
Quick cuts.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't need to show it. Yeah.
Yeah. Too long. Spit on the Grave was what, like 7 minute long scene of seeing all those dudes go to town? And I was like, what the fuck, man?
Crazy.
Like, you could show me the door and hear her scream, and I'm like, okay, I get what's happening. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good.
Yeah, but times, man, the times, I guess, when it came out compared to, you know, but still, I'm like, wow.
Well, it's a cheap act. That's what it is. It's usually the cheap act go-to. Like, not to speak ill of, like, Wes Craven or anyone, but it's like, it's a cheap act because it will initiate shock. It's the thing that will set people on edge and have their anxiety riled up so that the scare moments work. Right. They fear if they don't do that, it won't be as powerful. So, like, Last House on the Left, sure, it's like, it's a very jarring rape scene. But if they do what, like, I would like them to do, which is snippets, you're not as unnerved. So you're just like, they raped her. So, yeah. Anyway, what are they doing with her body? It's like, but if you watch it, you're like, you both know what happened. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's tricky. I've always disapproved of that. Anytime a movie starts, I either manually skip it if I have interest in it, or I shut it off completely because I don't support that in films at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessary for any revenge plan, like plot point. Like the not to spoil it, obviously, but the film Hard Candy, it's like, it's insinuated. It's done through talk. There's no flashback of it happening. There's no this. It's all insinuation, which is the correct way to do it. Mm-hmm. Scare us with words and then actually scare us. Hell
yeah. No, I agree. That story is told so well. And so, like, when I seen that, and you guys are going to hear this again, but when I seen it the first time I seen it, I'm rooting for her. I'm like, well, shit. Good.
Yeah.
I like, because, and the way I look at it, because we'll get there. I'll hold that up till we'll get there. I just have no sympathy for people that'll do something like that. It's like, hey. However, she got her revenge. She just got her revenge. You did what you did to her. Now it's your turn.
It's the correct way of doing it over. Fuck. What was the? Sorry for smiling. If you guys like it, it's fine. But Eli Roth, Keanu Reeves, two girls at the door. Was it Knock Knock?
Not the visit. The visitor. Ooh, Knock at the Door.
No. Is that it? No. It's about two girls. One of them is the really popular one now. But Keanu Reeves is there and ends up cheating on his wife with these two girls that are in the house. And then
Knock Knock.
The two girls. Sorry. Knock Knock. Yeah. And the two girls are basically setting him up. But it was poorly done because Keanu Reeves is he's just his accent. It's just like Butch is like, what are you guys doing? It's like every time. But it's worth watching, but it's very much the same where it's flipped. Now it's the females doing it to the male, which was interesting to me because it didn't really bug me as much.
Right.
But maybe that's because I'm a guy. But it was interesting because they're setting him up. Their idea is they go from house to house and they're trying to make the male look like it's the bad guy. And I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest.
They shouldn't be fucking with John Wick, though. You know, be careful.
Right.
Probably won't even waste a bullet.
Yeah, he didn't know he was capable of then, James. He was still
speaking of that fucking for next week's movie. I hate the fucking scene in there in that movie with the dog. But anyways, we'll talk about it next week. We are watching the original one, right?
What are you talking about?
Audition?
Yeah, there's only one. Okay. There, from 99?
Oh, there's another audition.
No, we're watching we're watching the one that we
That's the one I watched.
One from Japan.
Yeah, yes. That's the one I watched. There you go. Yes.
In my mind, that's the only one that exists.
That's fair.
In my mind, it's the only one that exists. That movie is just...
What is that? Who directed that? Was that Takashi? He did. There's a director that's really fucked up. That I've seen all his films, but for the life of me, I can't remember one right now. But he did. It's a really Ichi the Killer.
Takashi, yeah.
Oh,
Miyazaki or something.
Yeah, he does like torture horror.
It's like it's like torture horror action, and it's actually really done. If you ever get a chance, look up Ichi the Killer. It's fucked. Like, it's so fucked. You have no idea. But there's something about it that's really cool. It's fucked, but it's cool. I'll say that.
Interesting.
I have to check it out. It sounds familiar. I might have seen it. Well, I don't want to say.
If you, everybody, every time they type it in, they're like, "I've seen this picture before." It's a guy with like stretched out things, and it's cool.
Ichi the Killer. I'm looking at the poster thing. I'm intrigued just from that alone.
It's really cool. It's a detective movie, and they're trying to track a killer named Ichi. But I'm not going to spoil it, but it's very fucked up movie. It's going to make you like your stomach turn. So I always say like, have an empty stomach when you watch it, because there are like things in there that can make you want to regurgitate. But the guy's really a genius. If you watch it, he's not, he has an art style about it, which is really cool.
So basically can't watch this one with the wife.
Gotcha.
Nah. No, because the first scene alone, she'll be like, "What the fuck?
Oh, okay. No, I never seen this.
Ichi the Killer.
Yeah, that's I believe that's the detective that's hunting Ichi the Killer, and he's actually pretty damn cool. But it's a really fun film, and it was my transition into Korean Japanese cinema.
Really,
about 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Because once you watch that movie, you're going to be offended, and then you're going to want to watch more, and then you start binging all this other stuff, and you'll get through them.
There you go.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see that now. I'm excited to see that crazy-ass shit.
I have a question, though, for everybody. Have you guys seen, and if it's a yes, awesome. If it's a no, awesome, because you guys are going to be like, fuck yes. Have you seen Behind the Mask of Leslie Vernon?
No.
Oh my gosh, guys. All right. You guys are going to love me right now. Every time I recommend this, people freak the fuck out. More so than Ichi the Killer, any movie anybody's ever recommended for you. I'm just going to say the premise, because if you are a horror fan in any way, shape, or form, you will geek the fuck out with the amount of references that are in there. Imagine a movie that is set in a world where every single horror location actually exists. Crystal Lake, all of them. And all the news outlets actually know about Jason, Michael, Freddy, et cetera, but the thing is, just like real life, people don't really believe it. Same in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, where it's like, no, he doesn't live there. That's not possible. Mm-hmm. But they do. So knowing that the horror realm is all connected, there's a guy named Leslie Vernon, who he's kind of like Jim Carrey. He wants to become a killer. So just like them, he wants to become the new killer. So he starts training himself to become the next serial killer. And this documentary crew, like, I don't know what you call it. They're at school. They, you know, they have the camcorders, whatever. They're like, oh, we can make a documentary off him. He's not serious though. So they don't believe that he's actually trying to become a serial killer. So he starts revealing tricks. And they're like, wait, how'd you do that? And he's like, oh, you want to know how this is done? And he starts breaking down the science of how Freddy works, Jason works, Michael works. All of them work, and how they do their supernatural abilities without being supernatural. And it's ingenious the way it's done. And the only one that I'll treat you to right now, where you'll be, this is the one that gets everybody on the hook. He's like, okay, you know Jason Voorhees? And she's like, yeah, of course you know Jason from Crystal Lake. He's like, you believe in him? And she's like, no, he's just Jason from Crystal Lake. Like, it's a story. He's like, let me show you something. You know when Jason, when you watch movies or whatever, he tends to naturally just catch up with the civilian. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, like he teleports or whatever. And he's like, what if I could do that to you right now? And she's like, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. And like me as a viewer for watching the first time, like, that's fucking impossible. Like, how could you do that? He's like, I'm going to stand right here. I want you to run as fast as you fucking can to that tree down there, which is a quarter of a mile away. I'm going to be there. She's like, that's not possible. And he's like, she's like, can I look behind me? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. So sure enough, she starts bolting it. He doesn't move an inch. She looks back after like 3 seconds. He's still there. And then what happens is she runs another 5 feet. He starts bolting it as fast as he fucking can towards her. And then what happens is she turns around and he stands still again, just like Jason. And then the kick is, like, he ends up catching up there because every time he gets up, he's closer, closer. But it's cool because the scene before, if you were paying attention, it's literally, it's shot like The Office almost. He's like, you have no idea how much fucking cardio I got to do every day. Like, he's explaining, like, this is what he's doing. So he's taking the traits of all of them, and he wants to be the perfect killer. And at the end, he literally kind of combines everybody into himself. So when you watch this, I guarantee you, you're going to see Easter eggs. Like, you're going to see, I'm not going to say who, but you're going to see a lot of slasher killers in the background, like the actors walking around, and you'll see, like, the girls jumping rope from Nightmare on Elm Street. So if you like horror, Rise of Leslie Vernon, 100%, I've never met anyone that hasn't liked it, and it's literally my go-to horror film every year. Yeah. Every year.
Okay. What time are you down? What time do you watch it? Do you watch it at a specific time of year, or is it just?
So I'm very weird. I mostly strictly watch horror, and every month of the 12 months of the year, it's a different genre. So usually meta horrors, I call them. I watch in the month of November. So I'll watch Rise of Leslie Vernon. Unfortunately, Seed of Chucky, Bride of Chucky, more so Seed of Chucky, not so much the Bride, but things that are self-referencing in themselves, where they, like, kind of like on the moment in Bride of Chucky, where he hits the pin board and the guy goes in all the pins and he's like, you look like a friend of mine, insinuating Pinhead. But yeah, usually November is the self-meta.
Nice. Paul.
Sir.
I know you loved this movie.
Oh, God damn it.
What are your final thoughts of this movie?
Jennifer's Body?
Yeah.
It's still one, man. That's it. That's the best I could do for it. It'd be almost a two if they just didn't play fucking through the trees every other fucking scene. They changed the tempo if they did anything. The fact that they just played that same song over and over, fuck you. I'm gonna be singing that song the rest of the fucking week, which sucks.
What about you, James?
Yeah, not a fan. I didn't like the end. The end fight scene was so stupid. For one, she was a bad friend, honestly.
Terrible.
Like a really trashy ass friend. So, like, there was no connection at all. Like you're saying, Monster, there's like nothing. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is, what's going on? There's nothing to hold this fucking storyline together or anything. So, and oh, the demon is fighting. They're floating in the air, spinning like how girls fight stereotype thing. They're spinning in a circle like they're having a pillow fight and they start grabbing each other's hair. But then she rips the necklace off, and that's when Jennifer realizes, like, wait a minute, we're not best friends no more. Oh, okay. And she just falls down and the chick just falls with the box cutter and stabs her in the chest. Then they have to get that final joke. She's like, my tit. No, your heart. Shut the fuck up. Never mind. Drop my score down to a 2. Fuck this movie.
And on that motherfucking note, James, I'm going to give this movie a 0. I'm down there with Monster because there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it at all that even makes you want to, like, I don't ever want to see this movie again. I really don't. I don't want to go back to it. There's no point to go back to it. There's no point to recommend it to anybody. Even though I'll never tell you not to watch a movie, this is definitely a watch at your own risk because you may like it. And hey, more power to you. But I don't fucking like this movie. None of us here like this movie. Like, this is 0-4. This is bad. This is bad. Oh my gosh. But fuck. Before we wrap this up though, Paul, let them know where they can find you.
So you can find me on the scene. They can find me on the Scene Snobs, you guys. We do a show right before Sturdy's every Tuesday night. I'm gonna be starting to do more interviews where I talk about people's, you know, movie experiences for all movies from the 70s up. I just wrapped up filming one and pushing it out for taking my little brother to his first movie, which was Dune 2, and talking about how much he loved Dune 2 and his first theater experience. So keep an eye out for more of those.
Nice. And how about you, Monster?
So I'm on twitch.com. It's under the Monster Kingdom. We're currently going through a bit of a transition. We're finishing up with game shows and events we've been doing with people, and we're moving on to a more interview debate topic. And right now I'm trying to line up the girls from six of the Friday the 13th franchise movies where people can actually come in, talk to them if they like, and it's going to be pretty fun, but on twitch.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And for me and James, I mean, this Saturday, popcorn and pints, 9 o'clock Eastern time. I don't remember which Star Wars and Star Trek movies we're doing this weekend. I'm not going to lie.
I forgot. I think this one is week, this like Genesis.
Week 10. So,
yeah. Well, Star Trek, Star Wars.
It's been a long, long, fun journey, but, you know, we're far, far beyond wherever the hell they say. I forgot. It's been a mixed bag with those. And on top of that, over on the scene stops, also reviewing Godzilla with Nick Manhattan and Trevor over on Ambassador Radio. So it's just been like I watched a lot of fucking movies this year so far, guys. That's what I'm getting at. And 90% of it is because of podcasting. And then the other 10% is like going to the movies and just, you know, fun stuff like that. And I'm not sick of it. Like, I'm just like, shit, I need to watch more and more and more. But they just start to blend together at times. You know what I mean? Or it's just like, yo, have you seen such and such? They're like, how was it? And I'm like, yo, I'll tell you what. If I reviewed it, go watch that review, because that me remembers. This me. I watched about 47 movies since then. So I have no fucking idea, man. And I'm about to watch another one for the show tonight. So I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so check us out Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern time, over on Popcorn and Pints. And then this Friday, midnight, Sturtovision, we are reviewing one of Paul's favorites from his childhood, Troll 2.
I like it.
My cousin Jeff hasn't seen that movie yet, so I can't wait to hear what he has to say about that. I cannot fucking wait.
One of the worst sequels ever.
Yes.
Nah, man. I think it's a classic, fun. Like Aliens.
It reminds me of Samurai Cop or like The Room, where it's like, you know, the popcorn scene is best for me. I love that.
The kid pissing on the table is what pissed me off the most about this whole movie. From what I remember, that's what stands out. Is when they're eating dinner, he just stands up and green peas just come. What the hell is going on? I'm gonna flip that fucking table over so fast.
Like, I didn't mind the first one.
No, the first one.
The second one, I'm like, what the fuck?
You know
what? Am I remembering that correctly? The second one is the popcorn sex one, right?
I can't remember. The second one is like one that I won't say everybody hates it. There's some people that enjoy it, I'm sure. Some people that probably love it. But everybody that I've talked to or came across cannot stand that movie.
I can't remember.
Good thing you're rewatching it. Together.
I'm going to be watching it. I'm not excited about it. Well, I'm not horribly upset about it either, though. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I can't lie to you guys. But
the time period of the 80s, 70s is like, even if it was a shitty movie made in that time, something about it is just so damn relaxing, the way it's shot, how it's shot on like film and everything, where like, it's like when I watch like this shitty Friday 13th that I don't really appreciate, but if I'm watching like part two or something, I'm just like, I kind of dig it.
This right here. Cool ass cover.
That's the popcorn one. I remember.
Cool fucking cover. Cool fucking cover. But you said you love that movie?
I love that movie. I actually genuinely do. Yeah. It's the same with me with Killer Clowns. It's like, I don't know. I just really dig it.
Killer Clowns, yeah. I get that. Killer Clowns, I think, is so much better. This just, you guys will see how I feel about it on Friday at midnight. That's what I'll say. Tune in for that.
Mine's probably because I was disappointed from the first one. Because the first one was decent. I've seen that and I was like, oh, fuck. They ruined it.
Yeah, I remember having fun with the first one. This one was just, but we'll see. But on that note, people, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks, Monster. Out. Thanks, Paul.
Hit those links, people. Check out those links. Like, share, subscribe, hit that bell, all that good shit. I'll see you in your nightmares. Peace.